Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
The director of the show is Jason Moore. Jason, I'm John Williams. You're on WGN Radio. How are you?
I'm great, John. Thanks for having me.
What did you think of our review so far?
I think you're spot on. You recognize all the talents of our incredible actors, and you're right. Jared really does nail Sonny. Does him justice, both singing and acting wise. It's really, really fun to watch. I was glad that the audience really connected to him last night.
Is the Michaela Diamond version of Cher? She's the youngest of them. I noticed in the program it says something like this is her debut. What's her history?
She's incredible. She's 18. We found her when she was a senior in high school in New York City at LaGuardia High School, which many people know as the Fame High School, right? And she came to us. None of us knew her, and she just blew us away, and she continues to do that. She's a real special find, just like Cher was at a similar age. Cher was, discovered at 17.
She has her face. I presume they've all had their hair done. It doesn't naturally look like Cher's all of the time.
They're all in wigs. Yeah, they're all in wigs. But try and get that. Like, her color was so specific, that kind of dark ebony black. And yeah. So it's, you know, hard to recreate that. You have to use wigs.
Well, they all look like Cher. And this young lady is talented, right?
She's special.
She just pops on that stage. I think Teal Wicks totally has Cher's mannerisms down. And then Stephanie Block, who plays the oldest version of Cher we see on stage, so has the gravitas of Cher, the sort of charisma of Cher. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and she's a life lived and all the experience that she brings with that and her sort of authenticity. I think you nailed what we're trying to do with each of those versions, which is show those stages. And, you know, Michaela, for instance, the young one, doesn't have all those Cherisms because they hadn't really developed yet, you know, when she was a young woman.
You sort of get the feeling that as Cher got more confident, she was more sort of patient with her persona on stage. She could pause, milk a line, even when it was a really bad... You know, that's another thing. The show reminds us that for those of us of a certain age who remember the Sonny and Cher show or Cher's show, the writing was pretty bad. The jokes were so hammy, but they made them work. And my favorite part of the Sonny and Cher show was when she'd get on the piano and do that vamp bit. That was a special moment of television for a lot of us each week. She was so damn sexy. She was
gorgeous. Always in that red dress, a variation on that red dress. And that's why we had to put that in the show. It's fun to watch Teal do that up on the piano.
And talk about
Bob. And you're right. They really did master. She mastered at an early age, like stillness, because she was on camera, right? She was in the box of TV, so she really knew how to use her eyes and her face in a really subtle way that felt authentic, and you felt like you were right there with her because she was on your TV in your living room.
So tell us the Cher show. So what do we see, and who is Cher?
Well, she shares so many different things over her, you know, 72 years of life and 50 years of her career that we're trying to give little snapshots of all the different versions of people and things and accomplishments that she's been, which is actually why we need three women to play her. And at times we even have more than that playing Cher, because we want to show all the looks and show all the stages, the singer Cher, the comedian Cher, the actress Cher, the personality Cher, the concert maker Cher, and the activist Cher. We want to try and, you know, bring all those things to the stage. It's a lot to pack into 2 hours and 15 minutes.
You know what, since there are some revelations for those of us who are just sideline fans of Cher, for instance, is that true? Sonny owned 95% of their business and the other 5% was owned by the attorneys?
It is true. It is true.
That's tragic.
Yeah, it was a really tough moment for her in terms of realizing that all this things that they thought they'd invested in together, that she wasn't left with much at the end of that.
And just for a moment, I have an answer to this, but why don't you tell us what the show says about her relationship with Sonny Bono?
The show says that they had an incredible charisma and attachment and love together, but maybe he didn't always treat her the way that she deserved to be treated. But, you know, one of the things she said to us in an interview recently was, if he walked in the door right now, meaning where we were, you know, just a couple weeks ago, if he walked in the door right now, we'd still be Sonny and Cher. They had an incredible bond and love that superseded so many things, and we tried to capture that at the end of the show, that, you know, through everyone's differences in, you know, on Earth, that there's sort of also a plane in which, you know, you believe in the goodness of another person.
It's funny how forgiving you can be, particularly when you have sort of hindsight. So there are times where, as we know what the outcome of the relationship will be and what happens to Sonny Bono in real life, and it's hinted at the show, but there's the younger Cher maybe imploring the middle-aged Cher to, you know, get on with your life, or no, stay with Sonny, and the older one is trying to manage the two competing views of what that relationship should be like. And I suppose a lot of people are in relationships where somebody treats you badly, but you also love them for things that they did too.
Yeah, that's what the multiple viewpoints do, which is all of us have different voices in our head, and we look at different moments in different ways depending on what sort of hat we're wearing. And, you know, both things can be true. People can love you and maybe not treat you always the way they should. And and it doesn't have to be, very few things in life are black and white. So we try and look into the gray of both her character and also the events in her life.
Jason Moore is the director of the Cher Show at the Oriental Theater. Big night last night. Bob Mackie was there. And Cher was in town, we understand, this weekend. I would say there were three moments where the show just kind of unexpectedly popped for me. One was when Sonny came on and revealed the talent that that actor has. Another one was at a couple of moments, just the Bob Mackie costumes. They didn't even talk. And people just lost their minds over the costumes.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's why we really wanted to include that as a big surprise. Most people know that that's such an important part of Cher's fame, and that collaboration has been a lifelong collaboration. But also just noting that he himself, all those looks sprang out of his brain, Not only also the glamorous ones, but also the funny ones, the Laverne character or the curtain rods that he made for Carol Burnett. He has such a big brain. We really wanted to sort of show the breadth of all the things that he's done.
Yeah. So you had the Sonny moment. You had those costumes. There's a dance scene that one of the women executes to a Cher song that is one of the most compelling dance scenes I have ever seen on stage.
Oh, wow, great.
Don't you think so? I mean, you sensed the reaction from the crowd last night.
Yeah, I think that, we do a version of The Beat Goes On, I think is what we're talking about in Act 2, and Babe, who's the young one who always had the dream of sort of being an actress, finally gets her moment in the spotlight, and it becomes her sort of big dance number. Interestingly, that's actually the last number we added to the show. We added it 4 days before we left the rehearsal room. We came up with the idea, and we put it together very quickly. So I'm very pleased that it has been so well received, because it really is kind of the realization of that this woman finally gets to do what she always wanted, which is sing and dance and then wear fabulous clothes. And we reveal some pretty fantastic wardrobe in the middle of that song.
That we remember. I mean, you know, credit to Mackie that if a woman walks on stage, people remember where they were when they saw that.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's true. There was also, in the Chicago Tribune today, Chris Jones writes a little bit about it. And as you're talking about just adding a scene or a song or a dance routine, Chris says that there are some things that maybe you need to consider excising from it. Mm-hmm. How much of the show that we see on stage now, maybe as a percentage, do you think will survive all the way to Broadway? 90%? 70%?
I would say 90%. You know, when we started, sometimes the challenge of Cher's 50 years of career and 45 songs is really one of the biggest questions you ask. What are we leaving out? You know, not what do we include? There's so much to choose from. When we started our first preview here in Chicago, we were 22 minutes longer than we were last night. So we've been cutting, and we know we need to cut some more. And that's what this out-of-town tryout helps us see, which is what the audience responds to, what you need in the story, where audiences are kind of ready to skip ahead. So we'll end up cutting some more and revising for New York, and that's what this tryout's been so helpful for.
You getting tired of people going, why doesn't she do this song? Hey, how about she does? I want to hear all of Gypsies. Come on.
You know, we end up in that discussion a lot, and it's interesting because everybody has their experience of Cher from whenever they kind of discovered her or rediscovered her. So everyone has a favorite. So we try to honor that, but we also kind of try and honor what is the narrative need, because if we included everything, it'd be 4 hours long. No one is probably going to want to sit through that. They just should go home and listen to the albums.
Having worked on it as long as you have, how do you manage personally to process the well-intended criticism that people will have of something in a sort of embryonic state like this? Is it kind of difficult to take?
It's not, because part of what you are trying to do is, you know, you make theater for an audience. You don't make it to perform it without somebody watching you. So they're an important part of the collaboration. So, you know, sometimes there are things that I wish worked or want to work, but ultimately, especially in a show like Cher, where it is about entertaining and connecting to an audience emotionally, listening to what they have to say is part of how you make it better, even if sometimes it maybe is at first something you don't want to hear. But and ultimately, if you listen and process it correctly, usually it gets better.
I'll let you go. Do you have a favorite part of the show as it sits now?
You know, it's so funny. It's the song you played at the beginning, The Way of Love. It appears in Act Two, and it's just a very simple, theatrical, beautifully sung moment, and it's the one I could pretty much watch, you know, for the rest of time.
The song doesn't run 3 minutes. It's such a big song.
Yeah, and if you look at that lyric, seconds. It repeats. It actually, she repeats the lyric twice. But the song itself is such a beautiful build, and I think hopefully the way we put it in the show, it has a meaning to it, and it's a thrilling song. I love that you chose that to begin with.
Jason, good luck. Congratulations. Our best to the cast and crew over there. It's really been fun talking to you, and it was fun, even if it wasn't the finished product last night. That was a lot of fun.
Come see it in New York. Thanks, John.
Yeah, well, now there's a... Was that an invitation? When he says that at the end of an interview, does that mean I got to get an airplane ticket and go fly to New York? Or does that mean that he's already hooked me up?
Did that include four?
Because if it did, Kim's won. Violetta, are you in?
Yes.
He just invited me. I think when you invite somebody, that means, hey... It's on me, right? Am I right about that or wrong about that? I don't want to be a freeloader. That's not my game. Sure kind of sounds like it, though.
If I could turn back time.